that's what his signature reads like, had a lot to learn about signing papers. He had left acres of clear space between the last line of the report and his signature. I filled this with a very passable imitation of his handwriting. Massive internal hemorrhage. Shock, I wrote. Died en route. This sounded official enough. I quickly added, all attempts resuscitation failed. I had a moment of doubt about spelling this jawbreaker, but since Dr. McVigles thought there were two P's and multiple, he could be expected to muff this one, too. This last line made sure there wouldn't be any hanky-panky with needles and electric prods to jazz some life back into the corpse. We turned out of the quarter just as I slipped the forms back into their slot and lay back trying to look dead. "Here's a DOA, Sven," someone called out, rustling the papers behind my head. I heard the robot rolling away, untroubled by the fact that his writing pillow-shedding patient was suddenly dead. This lack of curiosity is what I like about robots. I tried to think dead thoughts, and hoped the right expression was showing on my face. Something jerked at my left foot, and my boot and sock were pulled off. A hand grabbed my foot. "How tragic," the sympathetic soul said. "He's still warm. Maybe we should put him on the table and get the revival team down." What a nosy, mealy-mouthed, interfering sod he was. "Nah," the voice of a wiser and cooler head said from across the room. "They tried the works in the ambulance. Slide him in the box." A terrifying pain lanced through my foot, and I almost gave the whole show away. Only the fiercest control enabled me to lie unmoving while this clown grimly tightened the wire around my big toe. There was a tag hanging from the wire, and I heartily wished the same tag was hung from his ear, secured by the same throttling wire. Pain from the toe washed up and joined the ache in my chest, head, and arm, and I fought for corpse-like rigidity as the stretcher trundled along. Somewhere behind me a heavy door opened, and a wave of frigid air struck my skin. I allowed myself a quick look through my lashes. If the corpses in this chop shop were stashed into individual freezers, I was about to be suddenly restored to life. I could think of a lot more pleasant ways of dying than in an icebox with the door handle on the outside. Lady Luck was still galloping along at my shoulder because my toe amputator was dragging me, stretcher and all, into a good-sized room. There were slabs on all sides, and a number of dearly departed had already arrived before me. With no attempt at gentleness, I was slid onto a freezing surface. Footsteps went away from me across the room, the door closed heavily, and the lights went out. My morale hit bottom at this moment. I had been through a lot for one day and was thoroughly battered, bruised, contused, and concussed. Being locked in a black room full of corpses had an unusually depressing effect on me. In spite of the pain in my chest and the tag trailing from my toe, I managed to slide off the slab and hobble to the door. Panic grew as I lost my direction, easing off only when I walked square into the wall. My fingers found a switch and the lights came back on, and of course my moral fiber stiffened at the same moment. The door was perfectly designed. I couldn't have done better myself with no window and a handle on the inside. There was even a bolt so that it could be locked from this side, though for what hideous reason I couldn't possibly imagine. It gave me some needed privacy, though, so I slipped it into place. Although the room was full, no one was paying any attention to me. The first thing I did was unwind the wire and massage some life back into my numb toe. On the yellow tag were the large black letters.